studying.
Where my top door?
Worldly philosophies that we need to be aware of. I'll turn this on for now. And we looked at seven of them that have their roots in what we call humanism. In other words, the belief that man is the pinnacle of all things. I won't use the word creation because most people don't believe in creation. But in other words, man is everything. And so we looked at those seven philosophies. But then we began looking at a separate set with their roots in what we call pluralism or relativism, the basic teaching that truth is relative or that there is no absolute truth. Thank you, my brother.
Awesome.
And we've looked at two of those so far. One of them says that truth is what I decide it is, or that there is no absolute truth. And the other one is that if it works, it can't be wrong. Or fancy way of saying pragmatism, right? And unfortunately, these creep into Christianity and into the churches. We have to be aware that all of our philosophies, all of our thinking patterns have to be grounded in God's book. Amen? So today, we're going to use a couple of Bible examples with our third philosophy, which is, it's only wrong if you get caught. Who are some good Bible examples who thought this one worked or tried it? Anybody think of anybody?
Daniel.
Thankfully, not Daniel. But okay, good. Wouldn't have thought of that one, but that's a good one. Yes? So the devil tricked Adam and Eve into that thinking, exactly. Others? David, I was waiting for that one. So David thought, oh, I got away with it, right? And he did for a little while. Until what? God sent Nathan to say, thou art the man. But the devil is the one that uses this one against us, isn't he? He whispers in our ear and says, it's okay. Yes, you've sinned, but nobody knows about it. So just go on with life. And God knows about it. Psalm 90, verse 8, let's turn there as an introductory verse. And then we will have a look at what the scriptures have to say about this wrong worldly philosophy, which is it's only wrong if you get caught, which is absolutely not true. Wrong is wrong and right is right. Amen. So, Brother Scott, Psalm 90, verse 8, if you would.
Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, in the light of thy countenance.
Our secret sins. God sees everything, doesn't he? So let's pray and we'll talk through this. Lord, thank you for your word and the privilege to look at it together. And I pray we would learn from it. And Lord, that we would be very careful about these philosophies that creep into our thinking sometimes from the devil, and Lord, that we would always stop and evaluate our thinking patterns in light of your word. So we pray you guide us in your truth now. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Nobody mentioned Achan. So Achan thought, I got away with it, right? He hid them in his tent. He and his family were the only ones who knew what he had done, except for God. And that made all the difference. And Israel lost an entire battle and thousands of soldiers died because of Achan's sin. So people have tried this philosophy and continue to try this philosophy. But it is not of God. So the Bible tells us all through the scriptures we have a huge responsibility, and that is to obey this book. Amen? When we disobey this book, what is to be our response? I know we talked about it at camp, but what is the proper response to disobedience? Okay, what are the improper responses that we talked about at camp? There were two. One of them was blame shifting. Anybody ever tried that one as a child? especially if you had siblings, right? And the other one was hiding from God. We see both of those in the Garden of Eden after the devil tricked Eve into taking the fruit, and then Adam took the fruit. God challenged them. First they hid. Then when he challenged them, what did they do but blame shift? That's the improper response. So what's the proper response? Repentance, confession, right? Amen? And so the devil puts these thoughts in our heads. Let's look at Proverbs 23, verse 7, and just see an example. Are you okay to read, Howard?
Yep.
Okay. 23:7.
As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee.
So the devil slips these thoughts into our mind, but the problem is that our thoughts define who we are. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So I'll give you a couple of practical examples. How about not being honest on our tax returns? Because we can't afford to pay our taxes. Nobody knows except us and who? God. Does the Bible command us to pay our taxes? Many times, but specifically Romans 13:6, pay tribute. Right? So there's one example. I'm just going to give you a couple. How about gossiping behind closed doors? I agree, Jan. Definitely not very nice. But what did Jesus say about it? Let's look at Matthew 12:36. Brent, if you could read that. So we're just looking at some examples here quickly first.
But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment.
We will give account. God knows. So we didn't get away with it. David didn't get away with it. You know, it started with seeing a nude woman on the roof, and he committed adultery with her, then tried to cover it up by having her husband killed, and God had to send Nathan to rebuke him for his sin. But he thought, and that's where we get into our trouble, isn't it? Like we talked about at camp, our thought life. He thought that he got away with it. But the Bible says no, there's no such thing as getting away with it. Philip, if you could read Ecclesiastes 12:14. Let's look at some scriptures that clearly teach that we never get away with it. And that this philosophy is not from God, but straight from the devil. That it's only wrong if you get caught. So Ecclesiastes 12:14, read 13 and 14 if you would. With every secret thing. What a phrase that is. Aren't you thankful you're saved? That your sins are under the blood of Jesus? How would you like to give account for every sin you've ever committed at the great white throne judgment? Time means nothing to God. And time will mean nothing to those standing there getting judged. But every secret thing. Another one, Romans 2:16. Roy, if you could read that for us.
In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men, by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel.
God shall judge the secrets of men. So we may think that we're getting away with it, and the devil may trick us into thinking, just need to keep it to myself. I didn't get caught. I got away with it. We never get away with it. We might have gotten away with it as kids because our parents aren't perfect, right? There's plenty that we would have gotten away with. But now we're God's children and God knows and sees everything, so we get away with nothing. Let's look at some more. 2 Chronicles 16:9, James. And Cash, then after that, Hebrews 4:13. So 2 Chronicles 16:9.
For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the heart of him, his heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars.
That's 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro. Okay, cool. Cash. Hebrews 4:13.
Neither is any creature that is commanded as he so, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him for whom we have to do.
So remember, the devil is behind this thinking pattern, but can anybody think of any modern day technology that the devil has used in a major way in our society relative to this wrong thinking pattern that's destroying families? And it's a secret sin for most men. Any clues? Pornography. Look at David's response to pornography, if you want to call it that, right? He committed adultery and murder. But now, in just a short time, as far as man's history goes, it's only a click away. You can even see it on your phone now. If you would have told people 100 years ago that they could carry something around in their pocket and access pretty much all written information in the entire world on something in their pocket, they would laugh at you. But we can. And I'm not saying the internet is evil. The internet is a tool, but the devil's using it, isn't he? And there's a lot of evil there. Jesus said, if any man look upon a woman with lust after her, he hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. That command has never changed. But the devil, look what he's done. He's destroying ministries, he's destroying families all around the world with these secret sins that people think nobody knows. But who knows? God knows. Amen? So it's a very dangerous philosophy, and it is only going to get worse. But thoughts or examples from the Old Testament or thoughts or questions about this third philosophy, it's only wrong if you get caught. And we have plenty of Old Testament examples, especially with people like Achan and David and, who did you mention? Judah and others who thought, I got away with it. So thoughts or questions about this third philosophy? Good point. There's no anonymity with God. Amen? I mean, you might be anonymous to everyone else, but God knows what you did. If you said something mean, and doesn't the Bible say to speak evil of no man? Titus 3:2. Brent?
I'm actually quite amazed where society is becoming diluted, even for having consequences for, say, societal ills. You get a lot of people that just don't believe in consequences, and it's half of society is saying, there are other consequences. The others are saying, well, we can't have them. So you just ask the question, why do you have rules and laws in the first place?
Yeah, exactly. And we're there now as society, aren't we? In many societies, it's like, oh, let's quit punishing criminals, those poor criminals. It's not their fault. Good. Anything else before we move on to the fourth one? It's only wrong if you get caught. And a lot of people, this is how they live their lives. It's sad. A lot of kids grow up thinking that this is a life rule. It's only wrong if you get caught. In other words, there is no right or wrong, which is the root of this whole thing, isn't it? Because let's take it all the way back. There is no right or wrong if there is no creator, and the creator hasn't written down the right or wrong for us. So you take that out of the picture. Therefore, there's no final authority. So if there's no final authority, they're right. There is no right or wrong. And Hitler's teaching of the survival of the fittest, it's actually pretty accurate if there's no creator, isn't it? You know, we can say, oh, he was so evil. But how did he get all these millions of people to follow him? Anyway, anybody else? It's only wrong if you get caught. Which is a lie. Tanya? Good.
And it's something you can just easily do and just go home and think, oh, you have something in special with the roles and the prices and everything else. But it's not the right thing to do. And it becomes a good way of testimony if you pull it up and say, listen, you missed something, because they look very surprised when you actually point something out.
Yep.
It can be a good testimony as well.
And that brings up even a lot of employers are just bemoaning how people just are constantly stealing stuff from work. And they think it's okay. Oh, I need a bunch of pens at home. Just take them from work. I need this. Just take it from work. They're stealing. But are they getting caught? Well, must be okay then. I'm not getting caught. So you see how it creeps in? The devil knows what he's doing, doesn't he? And some people are actually a thief. And God keeps waiting for them to deal with it. Probably keeps trying to speak to them in their prayer time. They got to deal with it because God sees everything. Let's look at Psalm 139 quickly just to be reminded. I know we've looked at this passage many times. And, of course, you'll recognize it because we sing it in hymn number, I think, 451 all the time. Could be 471, actually. I can't remember. Kian, are you okay to read? Verses 23 and 24 of Psalm 139.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in a way everlasting.
So this is the opposite of this wrong philosophy. This is actually being willing to open yourself up in your devotional time and say, Lord, if there are some sins that I am hiding or not aware of or haven't dealt with, reveal them to me. Search me. That's what we should be doing. Show me the things that I haven't dealt with and I should have dealt with. That's a big step to open yourself up to that, but it's what we should all be doing. But instead, the devil comes along and says, you got away with it. No consequences. It's all good. But with God, there's always consequences. You reap what you sow. Amen? That's a scriptural principle that always stands. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Think you got away with it? You didn't. Any other thoughts or questions on this third philosophy? If I didn't get caught, it's okay. Anybody? Let's squeeze in Diane, go ahead. You're talking about speeding? I like that one. That is a good one. Nobody in this room has ever sped before. Right, James? But it's a classic example. When we speed, are we breaking the law? But if we don't get caught, there doesn't have to happen to be a policeman there around the corner to catch us with his radar gun. Then we got away with it, didn't we? Thank you for bringing that up. But did we get away with it, Kian?
Yeah, another one. You kind of talk to people and they say, oh, I've never stolen anything big. And a lot of people say, oh, you might have stolen a pen or something like that. But it's kind of valueless. And if someone stole a pen from me, I wouldn't really care. But one thing people don't think about is really common is stealing company time. And if you think about it, like, a lot of people just fudge their timesheets, and they can really add up probably to hundreds of dollars a year. And
thousands.
Yeah.
And good point.
You probably look around, and probably most people would have stolen thousands of dollars that way.
Fudging timesheets.
It's just something to think about. Maybe we actually steal more than we think.
Yep. Good point. We spent an hour, you know, talking to somebody on the phone when we should have been working, but we still write down that we worked for that hour. We technically stole from our employer, didn't we? Wow, that's a good one. Any other ones? These are good. The speeding one is the most classic. We all need to be at the altar in the morning service this morning. Let's be real. Because we've all done it. And did we repent and get it right with God when we sped? Or do we have a long list waiting for us to get repented of? James, you better be at the altar. That's all I got to say. Any other thoughts or questions about number three? It's only wrong if I get caught. All right. We'll introduce number four, see how far we get. It's similar but different, and that is everyone else is doing it. Ever heard that one before? Definitely heard it from the kids, haven't we? But all my friends do it. Therefore, what? If all my friends do it, then it must be okay. And this is how society now is running everything, isn't it? Let's look at 2 Corinthians 10:12 and get started on this one. We might not finish it, but this is how society runs everything now. It's all based on majority rule. So 2 Corinthians 10:12. Brad, would you read that for us?
For we dare not make ourselves of the number, but we dare say some have commended themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves among themselves, not wise.
Not wise. Let's look at another one. Kelvin, Exodus 23:2. So, Old Testament, New Testament. Basically, everyone else is doing it. It's a great way of rationalizing sin.
Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many transgressions.
Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. And yet, is the multitude today not telling us that evil is okay? That what God classes as evil isn't evil? And the multitude is telling us this, aren't they? And if you look in the scriptures, even in the New Testament days, was the majority usually right or wrong based on scripture? It's an easy answer. The majority is usually wrong. I'm not trying to attack democracy or a democratic form of government. What I am saying is we cannot define right or wrong based upon the majority decisions or rules or thoughts. We have a manual on right and wrong already, amen, from our Creator. So we cannot redefine right and wrong based on what the majority thinks or decides, and yet that's exactly what we are doing all around the world, isn't it? Everybody else is doing it. It must be okay. And we have to be ever so careful. So let's look at some more. Proverbs 12:26. I'll start back with Jim, if you would. Proverbs 12:26.
The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, and the way of the wicked seduceth
them. The way of the wicked seduceth them. See that word seduce? That's the devil, isn't it? He's a seducer. And what's he doing? He's seducing the world into saying that evil is good, and now good is evil. I don't know how related it is, but Annette sent me the most amazing article this week from the New Zealand Herald. And I'll just summarize. There's a family in Australia, totally whacked in the head, but... Well, they just shot some policemen just because they hated the police. but they were Christians. And in the article, they defined these people as extremist Christians, and they put in the word premillennial. And that they equated premillennialism with extremism. I had never seen that before. Because that makes us all extremists, doesn't it? Because we're all premillennial. This is in the New Zealand Herald. They equate extremism with premillennialism. So it's only going to get worse. Anyway, Isaiah 5:20 quickly. I think we've already looked at this one, but it's a very important verse. Howard, if you could read that for us. I hope it's the right one. Yes, Isaiah 5:20.
Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter.
Hmm. Does that sound like today? So let's start way back. We've got the Jews, they've been delivered from Egypt, they're in the desert, they have a leader named Moses. Many times the majority wanted to make a decision. Every single time the decision was wrong. Think about it. Let's go back to Egypt. Let's kill Moses. Let's get a new leader. Let's not go into the promised land. And the list goes on and on. And that this is the majority. This is pretty much everybody saying this is what we should do. So it's 1 against 2 million. Think about that. The majority says this is what we should do. Daniel was commanded, he and his friends, to bow down to an idol. Everybody bowed down except for his three friends. So, was the majority right or wrong? And, yeah, it just goes on and on. Even the golden calf, while Moses was on the mount, which we'll look at soon in Exodus 32, the majority said, we got to do something. Our leader's gone. This guy that we hate so much, we can't survive without him. We need to do something. So, the majority said, let's make a golden calf. So this has been around a little while, hasn't it? Everybody else is doing it. Majority rules. Majority must be right. And now we have a society like we have, where children obeying their parents is a dirty phrase. But it's in the Bible. Amen? Premarital sex used to be a sin. Now it's standard. We could just go on and on. Everybody else is doing it. Therefore, it must be okay. So I think we'll talk more about it next week. But before we quit, anybody think of any other examples where the majority says this is right and God says this is wrong? Yes? Good point. Amen. So we'll take some more examples next week because we've run out of time. But 3 and 4 more philosophies stemming from pluralism or relativism. These latest is everyone else is doing it, or it's only wrong if you get caught. Both lies from the devil. Brent, could you?